The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday. Looking ahead to the action in the afternoon from Salisbury and Ripon, and in the evening from Windsor and Carlisle. Remember to hear all of it live with full selections and analysis. You can join Sam Norris, Tom Morley and John Budden from 1:50 on Racing Radio. But for now on the podcast, you've got the Johns, me, John Gibby, and I'm joined by Lord Budden in the studio now. Hi, John, how's it going?
Well, double John. Absolutely excellent, John. Yeah, good. And we finished Glorious Goodwood. The Galway Festival finishes too. My goodness, you'd have to be a person who could last out in Ireland, wouldn't you, for that. But Goodwood, was it glorious? In my view, no.
Really?
And I mean really weather-wise. And we've had too many of these sort of weeks almost, certainly festivals where the ground has been almost impossible. Seamus Buckley did extremely well in his last year as groundsman at Goodwood, keeping the going as well as it possibly could. But my goodness, it was grueling stuff. And, you know, expect Glorious Goodwood normally to be, John, fast and furious. And it just simply wasn't. It was, a trial of endurance. And I was very upset with Ribchester, for example, on the first day. He obviously hated it. He was hanging. But to his credit, he kept on really strongly in that Sussex Stakes inside the last half furlong. I don't think he was disgraced at all. And neither did William Buick. He said afterwards that basically the horse had not liked the ground, but had rallied strongly. That was a disappointment, but I put it down to the ground.
Yeah, he ran a funny sort of race, didn't he? Because it looked like turning in he was in real trouble, like he might be well beaten. And then just in the final furlong, it looked like he might be about to get up.
Yes. Mind you, if I'd been at Goodwood, I'd have been tempted to go for the Andrew Balding horse, because here comes when has always been an animal with a certain amount of potential and one who really loves that deep ground. And, there could have been a question. He was a very good price, really.
Yeah.
Admittedly, he'd upped in class and upped his performance. But, yeah, it was that was a disappointing start, but I do tend to put it down to the ground.
And was there a race or a moment from the race that was a particular highlight for you, John?
Oh, absolutely. Winter, I thought, was outstanding. I just cannot understand why some very shrewd pundits at Goodwood, suggested that he really hadn't beaten very much, that the second horse had only got a modest rating. Well, that was true enough, but over the longer trip on ground that he hadn't faced before, she hadn't faced before, I thought she was outstanding, a tremendous filly. And I don't know whether you watched, John, but there was a wonderful sideways-on picture inside the last half furlong of Winter just extending clear. And I thought to myself, this is a filly with real potential. And I thought she was absolutely outstanding. And to me, that was the highlight of the week.
It was strange as well, in a way, to see her. It looked like she enjoyed the final couple of furlongs the most, when a few people had suggested that she might not stay the 1 mile two.
Absolutely. Well, on that performance in the Nassau Stakes, I mean, to say she certainly stays the trip and could even stay further.
Yeah.
And she seemed to relish the ground, and she was only really just given one tap by Ryan to keep her up to work. And I very much relished the way that she extended inside that last half furlong. And if anyone's got it on tape, I'd ask them to look at it again. sideways shot of absolutely superb action. And I thought Winter was the outstanding winner of Goodwood.
Well, thinking about Winter, what would you do next with her if she was yours? Would you keep her at a mile two, given she's into race the trip?
Yes, I would. I would keep her at 1 mile two, possibly bring her back to a mile. Mm. And she's shown that she stays 1 mile two really well. She might stay longer, but is it really necessary to do that? I don't think it is. There are plenty of options over 10 furlongs or a mile. And if she was mine, I would keep her at that trip. I mean, so I was a tremendous supporter of keeping Frankel to a mile. Yeah. I don't see ever, there were a lot of people who said, oh, well, he hasn't proved himself because he's only run up to a mile. But my goodness me, you know, that was Frankel's distance. And I would have said Winter, 10 furlongs suits well.
I suppose if you step Winter up in trip as well, you're running the risk of bumping into an Able and things like that.
Yes, you have. And I thought she was outstanding over the trip. So why experiment too much?
Mm. Well, Winter, a outstanding winner at the Nassau Stakes at Glorious Goodwood. And, well, perhaps not glorious weather-wise, John, but some memorable performances. At,
yes, it was. And so the last day, the ground was pretty tacky. I thought Crystal Ocean was really a decent winner. 14-1 for the St. Ledger before the race, now down to sixes. Something of a serious cut. It'll be interesting to see whether she actually goes to Doncaster, John. Mm. I thought it was very interesting, Ryan Moore being interviewed on the way back into the winner's enclosure by Ollie Bell, and he definitely gave the impression that this was a mile-and-a-half horse who would improve enormously next season. And I just got the impression that Ryan didn't necessarily think that the winner was going to go for the St. Ledger.
Well, if Crystal Ocean did go for the Ledger, potentially setting up a meeting with Goodwood Cup winner Stradivarius, that would be an interesting clash.
It would be an interesting clash. And having listened to Ryan, I would be tempted to go with Stradivarius.
Mm.
I thought the Stewards' Cup was also, it always is a thrilling contest. I wanted Growl to win myself because, you know, great supporter of Conor Murta, coming from the Barry Murta family. And he's done very well as a first-year apprentice for Richard Fahey. I thought Growl ran pretty well. Unusually, perhaps, rather more prominent than had been the case in previous races. I think he's a great possible bet for the Air Gold Cup, Graal, and I would hope to see him ridden just with a little bit more patience. And what about Sir Dancelot, John? Were you in the gamble?
I was not in the gamble, I'm glad to say. I mean, I usually keep my stakes to a minimum in these heritage handicaps because they really can be a bit of a lottery. If you look at the form of the winner, for example, compared to Growl, who I did think had an outstanding chance. Speaking of the winner, Lancelot Dulac, potentially to go to the Air Gold Cup, maybe for a matchup with Growl again, a rematch, or potentially into a higher grade of company, maybe for the champion sprint with her. Do you think he could hold his own in that sort of company?
Well, should not be completely sort of forgotten about. A 25-1 winner, you know, don't pencil through Lancelot Dulac. He's shown in the past quite considerable ability, and it was a remarkable prize, really. No doubt helped by the volume of support for Sir Dancelot and to a smaller extent Growl. But even so, Frankie Dettori gave Dean Ivory's horse a fine ride, nicely placed on the far side and stayed on strongly. Will win more races. Very versatile horse. I don't necessarily think he's going to win another race of the context of the Stewards' Cup. I would be opposing, for example, if the winner went for the Ergo Cup.
Yeah, I think the risk of some of these things as well is it can ruin the handicap rating a little bit, can't it? You know, you win one of these big handicaps and you sort of...
He's a wonderful man for big handicaps, Dean Ivory.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robert Winston and he have teamed up quite regularly to take the money, and I wouldn't completely pencil through the winner.
Well, anything else to mention from Goodwood, John, or are those your highlights from the week?
They were my highlights of the week, really. And as I say, Winter was, in my view, the star of the week.
The star of the week at Goodwood, Winter for Lord John Budden. Well, we'll move along now from the glorious meeting to some slightly lower class fare, but still intriguing contests coming up on Monday, John. We'll start with the 3:45 at Ripon. Of course, you can hear all of these live on William Hills Racing Radio. This is a 6 furlong handicap for horses Asia 3 and above. 11 have been declared to go to post for this one. What would you like to look of?
Well, it's interesting. You could go for sort of 3 or 4 and still not have the winner. Jeff Harker's got quite a good record at Ripon, you know, John, and Wentworth Falls represents the Harker stable, or were Wentworth Falls to reproduce the sort of form shown in the early part of the season, then the top weight would not be without a chance. But his recent form has been pretty thin, so I'm going to pass him over. Jay Walker comes from the Rebecca Basterman yard, and she's been having a great run over the past sort of fortnight or so, but Jay Walker was quite well beaten in a better contest at York, comes out pretty quickly. Interesting horse is Captain Dion, wearing blinkers for the first time, but hasn't been out since April. But that's not necessarily a disadvantage. Kevin Ryan's horses, of course, were off the course with that herpes worry for something like 3 weeks. Captain Dion will be pretty fresh. I certainly wouldn't pencil him out of this contest. But I'm going to go, John, with Bossy Pop. I saw Bossy Pop run pretty well at Carlisle on the penultimate, and I thought was a decent winner at Pontefract last time out. Tim Easterby has his team in great shape, and Bossy Pop has got a £6 penalty, but I still think he could defy that. So I'm going to go with Bossy Pop.
John, that takes Bossy Pop to defy the £6 penalty in Ripon's 3:45. Horse has been in good form recently, placed on each of his last three starts, a C&D winner as well. And we'll see if he can get the job done tomorrow afternoon. There's also a meeting at Salisbury tomorrow afternoon, John. 5 o'clock is a 1.5 handicap for fillies. It's actually a decent race, this. I was looking at the form of this race for another organisation the other day, and there's some fillies coming to this in very nice form.
Yes, I was slightly disappointed with the prize money at Salisbury, actually. £12,000, this is the most valuable race on the card, but there's some pretty thin prize money for the rest of the card, which is unusual for Salisbury, because actually Salisbury are generally pretty generous with their prize money. We've got two or three fillies, I thought, who had definite winning chance here. You'd have to say Jelly Munger is one of those. Wears cheek pieces for the first time. And Dominic French, Davis's filly, has been fairly consistent but has found winning absolutely a little bit difficult. And it's just possible that's going to remain the case today. A lot of Windsor form in this race, John. Mm. Harebell, for example, a winner at Windsor. Di Alba, also a winner at Windsor. And the two I like, one of them is a second last time out on handicap debut at Windsor. That is Lightning Dance, Amanda Perrott and Jim Crowley. And I thought wouldn't have to improve a great deal on that form to be pretty close. But Richard Hughes has his team going really well. Shane Kelly, of course, combines very effectively with Richard Hughes's runners. So I thought Nathania had got as good a chance as any. A decent third at Ascot behind Dawn Horizon. And I think that form is superior to the Windsor form. So I'm going to go with Richard Hughes and Nathania.
It's interesting to see Richard Hughes, I think, quickly establishing himself as a good trainer, particularly of fillies and handicaps, I've noticed. He's had quite a few winners in that sphere.
Yeah, absolutely right, John. And, he'd been very patient, Richard Hughes. He was, of course, as a jockey. And many people, I think, thought he was going to go whipping up winners in his first season last year. Well, he treaded water, in my view, and carefully sort of sorted out the whole business. And his team are going very well at the moment.
Well, Nathania, the choice for John Budden in the 5 o'clock at Salisbury then. We'll move along to an evening meeting at Carlisle. Of course, you can hear this on William Hills Racing Radio as well. And there at 6 o'clock is a handicap rational and amateur lady riders for horses age 4 and above. 11 go to post in this one, John. It's over 6 furlongs. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think this is a remarkable meeting. This, it's now in about its fifth year. It's lady riders only. It's the only race meeting in the whole of the UK which has this particular day. Why other race courses haven't tried to follow, I do not know, because it's highly popular. It attracts, you know, the cream of both the amateurs and the professionals. It's a very, very entertaining evening, and it's astonishing to me that other tracks haven't copied Carlisle. They start off with 2 6-furlong races. I've gone for the 6 o'clock, and the reason there is that I think there are 3 horses with really good form in this type of contest, and it's going to be a good race between the 3 of them. I think Wilsey will go fairly well for Gemma Tutty. Has had a couple of really quite good outings recently. 3rd at Doncaster last time out in a race certainly as good as this one, and was also placed at Carlisle before that. So the Tutty team like to have a winner at this ladies' only night, and I think Wilsey would go well. It's got to just reverse the placings a little bit with Buccaneer's Vault. And one of the features, I don't know whether you would agree, John, but one of the features of, you know, handicap sprints over the past month is the way Paul Mitchell's horses have come to the top. And I thought Buccaneer's Vault was a decent second at Doncaster. But I'm going to go with Tim Easterby again here. I have been waiting for Kenny the Captain to win a modest handicap sprint, but a handicap sprint which is not of too high a quality. And I think Kenny the Captain has got the form to win this race. Emily used to be in the saddle. She's perfectly capable. And Kenny the Captain has run really well on the last 2 occasions. And he's also got form at Carlisle. He was 3rd to Manshood last time out at Hamilton and was placed before that at Ayr behind Dark Defender. A bit unlucky at Ayr because drawn right on the stand side, while Dark Defender, if I recall, went down the far side and just held off Kenny the Captain. I think he's got a good chance here. Kenny the Captain for me.
Kenny the Captain, the choice to John Bunn, 6 o'clock at Carlisle at that Ladies Only Riders meeting. We've got pretty much the top female riders in the country in attendance, and we've got another race on that card now to have a look at, John. The 7 o'clock, a 1 mile, 1 furlong handicap, again for professional and amateur lady riders, of course, for ages 4 and above, meaning the horses, not the jockeys. And we've got 13 going to post in this one. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it's pleasing that this is over 9 furlongs, and Carlisle is really quite a stiff track, so you need something which will stay the trip. And the ground could be quite on the softish side too at Carlisle. I mean, I've been in Cumbria over the past week or so, and we've had a lot of rain, and they'd had quite a lot of rain before that. So I think there'd be plenty of cart underfoot. What to win? Well, King Thistle's got a chance. There's little doubt about that. Ran reasonably well for Rebecca Menzies last time out, and the Menzies team have been in pretty good shape. 3rd at Hamilton. I think Kiwi Bay is definitely one to take very seriously. Michael Dodds's veteran has been in really great form recently in this type of race. Turning handsprings at Redcar last time out, Kiwi Bay, admittedly ridden by professional male jockey on that occasion, but was extremely well backed and never looked like being beaten inside the last 2 furlongs. And prior to that, Michael Dodds's daughter had ridden Kiwi Bay here in a similar race to this one at the Cumbrian track, and finished a perfectly sound 4th on that occasion behind Dark Confident, who was ridden by Ella McCain, and she's got a mount in the race as well. She's only 16, just 16, and came straight from her GCSEs to have this first ride at Carlisle about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, amazing.
And she read a really very neat finish indeed. Joanna Mason was on the favourite, and she's one of the strongest amateurs in the business. And Ella McCain was able to get the win inside the last half furlong. She rides Sikando here. Well, Sikando was 50-1 last time out, 2nd on the Tapita at Newcastle. I think that could be a little bit of a problem. Sir Jack is consistent. finds winning difficult, though. So I boil it down to Kiwi Bay and my choice, which is weapon of choice. This is Diane Sayer training with Emma Sayer, her daughter in the saddle. PE teacher from Monday to Friday, but on holiday now, John. So she certainly won't lack fitness. And she is, of course, a really top-class amateur rider, had been professional until deciding to go into the teaching industry, as you might say, regained her amateur status, rides as an amateur now. Weapon of Choice won a hurdle at Perth, and actually, last time out on the flat, which was a year ago, ran second here at Carlisle. The team in good shape, I thought Emma Sayer had a chance on Weapon of Choice.
Oh, Weapon of Choice, John Budden, in the 7 o'clock at Carlisle. And, well, John, do you want to go through your selections again? Remind us what you've gone for.
Oh, yes, OK, John. Well, the first one was a 3:45 Ripon. Tim Easterby I've gone for. Bossy Pop. Richard Hughes in great shape. I thought the big race of Salisbury, the 5 o'clock, could go to Nathania from that particular yard. And the two at Carlisle, I am quite keen on Kenny the Captain. Could be Nat material for me. That one in the 6 o'clock. And in the 7 o'clock, local trainer Diane Sayer, who trains near Penrith, weapon of choice.
Well, John, thanks for your thoughts on Goodwood and all of tomorrow's racing as well. And we'll be able to hear you, of course, alongside Sam Norris and Tom Molly on Racing Radio tomorrow from 1:50.
Thank you very much, John.
And thank you for listening to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.